RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
A happy Monday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys coming up here over the next 30 minutes. Plenty of football talk on the show today. We got Bears, Vikings, Monday Night Football. David Hall standing by. Going to get his thoughts on Monday Night Football tonight from Chicago. We'll also look ahead to Week 2 in the NFL and Week 3 in college football with our Bet Now segments. We got lines out. I got a bunch of games that I already like for the upcoming week in football. We'll dive into the top 10 teams in college football, the teams that I think are the 10 best teams in the sport here on this Monday. And then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Chime in at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube. Any plays you guys have in Vikings, Bears, any bets that you have upcoming for the weekend, any baseball plays that you guys are on, let us know and we'll get to your questions throughout the show. And as always, if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get rolling on a Monday. Glasses in session. Go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with David Hall, who joins us. Give David a follow on X at David Hall, host of Mullion Hall on 670 The Score in Chicago. David, great to have you on. Also, always great to have two Halls on the shows. We got our guy Sean producing, as always. A lot of excitement around this Bears team and Ben Johnson, obviously. David, where are you on the hype train? Are you buying it? Do you think the Bears could be a playoff team, an NFC North contender this season? Are you one of those people that you kind of want to wait and see the first couple weeks before you make your assessment on the Bears?
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for pronouncing my last name correctly. It doesn't always happen that way. So I am a believer in Ben Johnson, and I think that I have been from day one. This is the guy that everybody wanted. This is the coach that the Bears never hired before. Now, the Bears have hired fancy, offensive-minded former assistant coaches to run their scheme here and be the head coach. Matt Nagy comes to mind. Matt Nagy had a terrific first year in 2018. Matt Nagy's problem was that he was a play collector, not a play caller, and that he had more of an issue, I think, in being the leader that I think Ben Johnson appears to be. Now, he hasn't coached his first game yet, but everything that Ben Johnson has said and the things that he has done show me, or at least suggest, that he is a leader. And in the NFL, I think leadership is even more important than bringing your fancy playbook from Detroit. And Ben Johnson has impressed people most by the tone he has set, the physical play that he has stressed, and also by holding people accountable publicly. So it's not been, you know, oh boy, can you look at the way that he has schemed guys open? Not yet. Ben Johnson's biggest impression over this, over the last 8 months since he was hired in January, is that this guy knows how to lead and he's easy to believe in.
Yeah, I think that's a great point with Ben Johnson, because people just think about him. They kind of think the X's and O's, but him as a leader, certainly impressed so far there in Chicago. What's the biggest thing you want to see out of Caleb Williams this season, David? Like, what did he really struggle with last year that you're hoping Ben Johnson can help him improve on in year two?
The clock in his head has to work better than it did. He has to understand when the pocket is collapsing and when to get rid of the football. He can't take chances that he could take at USC. This is the NFL. So if he has to settle for a dump off to DeAndre Swift and your running back and take 10 yards instead of 30, do it. And then do it again. And then do it till they stop you. What the problem last year was that Caleb Williams, yes, he was sacked 68 times and suggested offensive line, and it was a sieve at times. But he was responsible for a great deal of those sacks because he held on to the ball longer than most veteran quarterbacks will. So what I want to see most out of him is the improvement, the grasp, and the growth that he understands what he needs to do to keep the chains moving. And he doesn't always have to be the hero on every play and go for broke. It's interesting because the one thing that you look at his numbers, and he didn't take a lot of chances downfield. He was very careful, and his interception to touchdown ratio was very good, and he had a lot of sacks. So I think it's weird because second-year quarterback, typically you'd say, well, if, as long as he can cut down his mistakes, he'll be better. In Caleb Williams' case, I think the opposite might be true. You say, well, as long as he's going to take more risks, he'll be better. But I think the Bears would benefit from that approach because he's got tremendous arm talent, and he would keep the chains moving the more he's likely to complete more passes at a higher percentage.
Outside of Caleb, David, who's the skill position player on the Bears this season, whether it's Swift, whether it's DJ Moore, Adunze, who do you think is going to benefit the most from this Ben Johnson offense?
I have to say this. It's kind of interesting because I like Colston Loveland, the first-round draft pick, and Luther Burden III, the second-round guy, and they're all going to get worked into the mix. And I don't really know. I vacillate over who's going to be the top target. The one thing that I could answer that question definitively, DeAndre Swift. They don't have another running back they trust. So of the skill position players that are going to benefit from this offense, it will be the guy who knows the offense maybe best. He played for Ben Johnson in Detroit. They traded him to Philadelphia. Ben Johnson wasn't responsible for that deal, so he remembers how well he can utilize his skill set. DeAndre Swift isn't in a position where they don't have the depth at running back to share carries with really anybody. Kyle Manungai will play, but I could see DeAndre Swift having a big year and being a bigger factor than people are talking about. In Chicago, we're debating all preseason. Well, you know, is Adunze going to catch more than DJ Moore? And is DJ Moore going to be Deebo Samuel out of the backfield? And whole Colston Loveland, does he get along with Cole Kmet? Guys, I think it's really the running back is going to be a bigger part of this offense than anybody really realizes.
Talking with David Hall here on Send It In, host of Mullion Hall on 670 The Score in Chicago. Vikings-Bears Monday Night Football tonight at Soldier Field. Dave, before we get into that game, I do just want to talk about the NFC North with you, because it's the only division in Week 1 where you had all four teams play each other in Week 1, right? We had Packers-Lions yesterday, Bears-Vikings tonight. Packers certainly make a big statement yesterday, and now they're big favorites to win that division. How do you see the pecking order right now in the NFC North? I think most would agree Packers are one. Lions didn't look great. It is just Week 1. Maybe it's overreaction, but kind of who do you think is that second team right now in the North before we see the Vikings and Bears play tonight?
Well, I agree with you. The Packers, after the Micah Parsons trade, are the favorite in the NFC North, and I even have them as a favorite in the NFC. I said that last week and was accused of having my cheese laced with something because I said it in Chicago, but I do believe that to be true. I think second is the Minnesota Vikings. You look at their ability to score points when Jordan Addison comes back. The passing game is explosive. I really like what Brian Flores does defensively. I think two things can be true. Maybe they could not win tonight. We'll get to that in a moment, but they also could have a better season than the Lions and the Bears in the NFC North. So I think the Vikings are probably number two because they'll grow around J.J. McCarthy and once they get healthier and everybody back. And then the Lions, I think we saw on the first Sunday yesterday that they're going to be prone to some mistakes and some their offense with three new offensive line starters could get stagnant at times. And I think they're going to miss the offensive infrastructure, the intellect of a Ben Johnson and an Aaron Glenn on defense. So I don't think those are any small losses. So I think that I have the Bears being fourth, but a competitive fourth, then the Lions at third, the Vikings, and the Packers winning the division.
Yeah, and the odds reflect that right now on BetMGM. The Packers minus 125, Minnesota behind them, then Detroit, and then Chicago. Dave, let's get into tonight's game. Vikings 1.5-point favorite on the road. The total is 43.5. Who do you like tonight in Chicago? Who wins, Vikings-Bears?
I think the Bears are going to try to establish the run. I think it's a smart approach. I think Caleb Williams will be very careful in the short passing game, and I think likely efficient. It's the first we've seen of Joe Tooney at left guard. The offensive line will be stabilized. I do think that the Bears, if they protect the football, and Caleb Williams has shown that's what he's good at. They protect the football. They keep the chains moving. I think they can win 27-23, a close game. I don't see that seems like, compared to what we saw last night in Sunday Night Football and some of the other games, a little low scoring. But you've got a quarterback in J.J. McCarthy making his first start for the Vikings, and you've got an offense in Chicago with the Bears learning a new scheme under Ben Johnson. So I think eventually, if these teams play it again, and they will later in the season, they'll see more points. But tonight, I think it's 27-23 Bears.
All right, there you go. Great stuff, David Hall. Give him a follow on X, at David Hall, host of Mullion Hall 670, The Score in Chicago. Appreciate the time, David. Enjoy the game tonight. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Anytime, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, great stuff there. David Hall joining us to talk Bears and Vikings. Let's continue talking Bears and Vikings here on Sending In. A little primetime Peach, first Monday Night Football game of the season. Vikings, 1.5-point favorite on the road tonight. Total in the game, 43.5. You just want to take Minnesota on the money line, minus 125. Bears are plus 105. We did see the Bills beat the Ravens by a point last night, so that point and a half could be important if you do just want to take the Bears on the spread. If you take the Vikings, probably we just want to lay the money line at minus 125. I do like the Bears in the game, though. If you guys were listening last week to the PJ Pick 5, you know the Bears were in there for me. Nothing has changed. I still like Chicago in the game. Had that great trend going into week one that divisional home underdogs were 18-4 against the spread since 2012. And oddly enough, they're 1-2 against the spread so far in week one. The Browns were the only team that covered. Atlanta didn't. They should have. They didn't. Seattle didn't. They probably should have. So even though it's 1-2, again, you can see how strong that trend is, and the two teams, Atlanta and Seattle, probably should have won outright. So the fact that that trend is 1-2, very easily could have been 3-0. I do like the Bears in the game tonight. J.J. McCarthy, I'm not as high on him as maybe some other people are. KOC is one of the best coaches in the NFL, certainly one of the best offensive play callers that we have. Flores is a terrific defensive coordinator as well. Really good coaches on both sides in this game. I just think for McCarthy to be favored in his first NFL start on the road in a divisional matchup, I think this should be a pick 'em, or maybe even the Bears should be favored in the game. When it opened up, they were favorites. Now all this money came in on Minnesota probably about a month ago. They have been the favorite ever since, but I like the Bears in the game, plus 1.5 against the Vikings. As for the total, I'd probably go under 43.5. Unders have been killing it so far in week one. We've only had three games that have gone over the total so far. But look, with Monday Night Football tonight, they're going to have their own pregame show. And leading up to it, what's the talk going to be about for the first 2 hours? It's going to be about Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, this Bears offense. Then it's going to be about the Vikings and KOC and J.J. McCarthy. And all you're going to hear is offense, offense, offense. What's Caleb Williams going to look like this year? What's the Bears? How about the Vikings? What's J.J. McCarthy going to look like as a rookie? And then watch it be a 17-16 type game. Because these two, when they normally play in Chicago, normally low scoring. I think this one's the same way, so I would probably go with the under, but I do like the Bears, plus 1.5. Some props that I would look at in the game. J.J. McCarthy, over 15.5 rushing yards at minus 120. And how about anytime touchdown, plus 525? I really like that one. I think that's a great price. If you watch McCarthy at the University of Michigan, he runs, man, and he's a good athlete. And especially short yardage, goal line situations, he got used a lot at Michigan, and I think KOC is going to do the same thing with him as well. And if you're a rookie making your first start in the NFL, I know it's his second year, but essentially a rookie because he was hurt all last year. If you're starting your first year in the NFL, your first game, the game speeds up. And the pro level is a lot different than the college level. And McCarthy would scramble a ton to begin with at Michigan. Really wasn't a guy that liked to sit in the pocket all that much. So I think tonight, in his first NFL game on the road, going to use his legs a lot. I like over rushing yards, and I like that anytime total touchdown price as well, plus 525. Also like Roma Dunze, longest reception, over 21.5 yards at minus 110. I think when we're looking at Ben Johnson and the Bears this season, we're all trying to find out, like, who are going to be the guys on this roster that were the guys for him in those roles when he was with Detroit, right? So obviously, if Coastal Loveland is going to be Sam LaPorta, DJ Moore is going to be your Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Adunze is going to be your Jameson Williams. That's going to be your deep threat. That's going to be your big play guy. That's going to be the guy who's catching the 50, 60-yard touchdowns. And you heard David say it. I mean, Caleb Williams was a conservative quarterback last year, and he really didn't love to take that many chances. And I think you're going to try and see Ben Johnson this year open it up a little bit with Caleb and force him to be a little bit more aggressive. And that helps everything they want to do on offense. They want to run the football, and they want to pass off of that, but certainly they want to stretch out the defense, and they're going to look to do that with Adunze, who's great when it comes to one-on-one, 50-50 contested catches. So over 21.5, longest reception for Roma Dunze. I like that as well. And then look, the last point I'll make in the game, probably a great teaser leg. We already have every line out for week two games. If you want to take the Bears plus 7.5 with a money line for next week, or maybe a college money line, I think that's a good look. This feels like a one-score game to me. Again, that home divisional underdog trend that I mentioned, all of those games were one-score games. They were field goal games or less. I would expect tonight to...
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Be the same thing. So Bears plus 7.5 should be a great teaser leg this week in the NFL. All right, you guys, let's talk a little games I would bet right now. So we got a comment in the chat. Sport wager ER, PJ Lamar or Allen, better MVP lean after week one. I think it's got to be Josh Allen sports wager, for the simple fact that wasn't the big argument last year was the fact that Lamar's got Derrick Henry and Josh Allen really doesn't have a superstar on offense along with him, and he's got to play Superman ball. And you saw that again last night. And Lamar was terrific. He was unbelievable. 3 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown. He also looked like the MVP. But it felt like more people came away with that game with what Derrick Henry was doing and how he just doesn't age and what a beast he is to deal with. Whereas you watch the Bills side of the ball, I mean, is anybody talking about James Cook? Is anybody talking about Keon Cook? Like, it's all Josh Allen and what he did. So these are the things that help Allen in the MVP market. Certainly the fact that they had this crazy comeback and he won the game, I think helps him as well. So while it is tough to go back-to-back for the MVP market, I think for week one at least, I'd probably give the nod to Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson. But both of those guys, I mean, terrific last night. Again, all these people picking like Denver as a sleeper team in the AFC, how can you watch that game last night against those two teams and those two quarterbacks and think like anybody other than the Chiefs, the Bills, or the Ravens are representing the AFC? I just think it's tough to have somebody other than those three with how great those three quarterbacks are to come out of the AFC. Speaking of the Ravens, though, let's start there, because you guys, my favorite bet for week two of the NFL is the Cleveland Browns plus 12.5 against the Ravens. I love the Browns on Sunday. Is it not the same exact spot that we had last year that the Ravens are dealing with, right? Last year, they opened up the season against Kansas City on the road in primetime, a team that they lost to in the playoffs. It was a revenge game in week one, and they lose in heartbreaking fashion. Isaiah Likely's toe is out of bounds. The Chiefs win the game. Well, week two, everybody thinks the Ravens are going to bounce back. They're double-digit favorites against the Raiders. They're at home. It's going to be a three-touchdown blowout. The Ravens lose outright. Where here we are again, week one, on the road, against the Bills, the team that you lost to in the playoffs last year. They lose that game, but the Ravens look awesome for three and a half quarters. And I think going into this week, the Browns lose the game to a Bengals that they should have won. The Browns are going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And I would think a majority of people are expecting the Ravens to just bounce back this week and absolutely blow out the Browns. But that's not going to happen. The Browns are going to keep this game close. The last three times that these teams have met in Baltimore, they've all been decided by one score. Ravens fans know this, and even Browns fans know this too. The Browns always play the Ravens tough in Baltimore. It's a divisional matchup. It's a rivalry game, and Cleveland always gives Baltimore their best shot in Baltimore. And another thing with the Ravens, too, as a Ravens fan, I can just tell you guys, there are certain games they get up for, and there are certain games that they don't get up for. The Ravens in primetime games, like last night, they normally play great. When the Ravens, or it's a tight point spread, they normally play great. When it's a weird day of the week, when they're playing on Thursday, Wednesday, Monday, whatever day, they're normally great. But when they're a big favorite at home, they normally struggle in those games. 1 p.m. games, they're normally bad. I was also looking back through the Ravens. They're 1-3 since 2021 in 1 p.m. games against divisional opponents. Joe Burrow has only beaten the Ravens one time, and it was at a 1 p.m. game in Baltimore. So there's something about that 1 p.m. game for the Ravens when they go up against divisional opponents, when they're a big favorite, that they always struggle with. And I've talked about this a couple times with Baltimore too. You always want to look for the games to fade the Ravens when they're not going to use their rushing attack. There are certain games throughout the season where they kind of hold back. They don't run Lamar. They don't run Derek as much as they should. And those are the games that they get into trouble. How about this stat for you guys? Last year, the Ravens played four divisional games before Thanksgiving. Derrick Henry got 16 carries or less in all four of those games. The Ravens went 2-2 in those games. They lost to the Browns and the Steelers, and they won both games against the Bengals. And if you remember both of those Cincinnati games, they should have lost. The Ravens easily could have been 0-4 last year in divisional games before Thanksgiving, and it's because AFC North, physical games, they don't really want to run Derek. They don't really want to run Lamar. They throw the ball more than they should. And again, guys, it's just a big letdown spot. Like, you were watching that Ravens-Bills game last night. You could see how amped the Ravens sideline was. You could see how much they wanted that game. Melissa Stark, who was doing the reporting for NBC, she was even talking about how fired up they were. You go from that, you go from the entire offseason prepping for the Bills, wanting revenge against the Bills, and now you lose that game the way that they did. You come home and you're nearly a two-touchdown favorite against Cleveland, a team that always plays you tough. Love the Browns, and it would not shock me if they won that game. Just about everybody's going to take the Ravens in their survivor pool. I mean, they probably do win, but again, wouldn't surprise me if Joe Flacco, of all people, goes in there and beats the Ravens on Sunday. So I do like the Browns. I also like the Seahawks plus 3 against the Steelers on Sunday. For me, that's just a numbers play. I think getting Seattle plus 3 is a great bet. They won 7 road games last year. Mike McDonald, the head coach for Seattle, was the defensive coordinator for the Ravens for 2 years. He knows Mike Tomlin. He knows the Steelers well. And look, that Pittsburgh offense was very good against the Jets. A lot better than I think a lot of us expected them to be. The defense did have some trouble against Justin Fields, but I think Seattle keeps that game close, and I think they're alive to win that game as well. How about the Dolphins on the money line against the Patriots? I mean, is this just not a Joe's versus pros type game, right? We were all over the Colts on Sunday. It was our favorite bet in week one, non-sweat. Colts take care of business. We knew they weren't losing for Jim Irsay. Well, now turn around. The Dolphins look awful, and a lot of people were down on the Dolphins going into week one, yet it felt like everybody was betting the Dolphins in that week one game against the Colts. And all those people who bet on the Dolphins now are so disgusted that they did, and they don't want anything to do with Miami, and they're going to see that that team is favored this week against the offseason darling in the New England Patriots. Drake May, by the way, 1-10 now as a starting quarterback, but go ahead. Keep betting them to make the playoffs. Keep betting their over-win total. Guy's got one win as a starting quarterback, and he's an underdog this week. You don't think everybody's going to be lining up to bet the Patriots after what they just saw after the Dolphins? Dolphins are going to win that game. We'll take them on the money line at minus 125. How about the Broncos, -2.5 at the Colts? Again, that game was just way more about the Dolphins than it was about the Colts. Don't let that fool you. Daniel Jones goes from playing maybe the worst secondary in the NFL to playing now maybe the best secondary in the NFL. Denver's offense didn't look all that great. Tennessee was very competitive. They forced some turnovers. I think getting the Broncos under a field goal, really good bet. I would expect that to go to 3. I like Denver at -2.5. Some college games that I would keep an eye on. What about Georgia? -4.5 against Tennessee. So much overreaction to Georgia off of how they've looked the first 2 weeks. You guys, Kirby Smart is now 0-10 against the spread against FCS opponents. He's 1-14 against the spread when he's a 38-point favorite or more against FBS teams. All Georgia's done in the first 2 weeks is what Georgia does every single year. They don't care how much they win by. They just want to get out of those games healthy. Their season begins on Saturday against Tennessee. The look-ahead line before going into week two was Georgia -7.5. Now it's Georgia -4.5. Why? Because, again, Georgia never covers against an FCS team, and they always roll in Knoxville under Kirby Smart. Georgia's won their last 8 games against Tennessee. They have covered in 6 straight and 8 of their last 9. I love Georgia, -4.5 against Tennessee. Wisconsin-Bama, we're going under 47.5 in that one. Wisconsin's starting quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. did not play this past week against Middle Tennessee. We'll see if he plays on Saturday against Bama, but this just feels like a 24-3 type game to me. Wisconsin's offense is abysmal. I do not think they're going to do much on the road in Tuscaloosa on Saturday. And Bama's offense put up 73 points against Louisiana Monroe. Awesome. Against Wisconsin, a team that's still solid defensively, doesn't give you much on the ground, Bama's going to have a struggle scoring points in this game. So I like under 47.5 Bama and Wisconsin. And then finally, SMU and Missouri State. Man, I love Missouri. This is my team, Missouri State. Week one, we fade them. We take USC, easy cover. Last week, we take them plus the points, money line against Marshall. They went outright. Well, we're taking the over now against SMU. I think that's going to be a track meet on Saturday, like over 61.5 SMU and Missouri State. All right, let's talk about the top 10 teams in college football as we dive into our glass ball. Number one team in America, going to be Ohio State at +525. They beat Texas in week one. They beat Grambling 70-0. Ohio State's got some tricky games upcoming, but as of now, number one team. Penn State has not looked very good the first 2 weeks, which is very unlike them because they usually destroy teams and cover spreads against bad opponents, but I'm high on Penn State. They were my national championship pick, and until we see them play Oregon at the end of September, they're probably going to hang on to the 2 spot for me. Texas is still number 3. That defense is still awesome. Arch, with more reps and more games, should continue to get better and better. I still feel like Texas probably the most talented team in college football. Georgia will put them at number 4. Again, Georgia the first 2 weeks, you guys, this is what they do. They don't cover spreads against bad teams. Against Tennessee, though, I think the Vols are in for a rude awakening. Georgia's still very good. I'll put them at number 4. LSU's going to be number 5 for me. I think if Texas and Georgia played LSU tomorrow in Atlanta in the SEC championship game, Texas and Georgia would both beat them. And are we sure LSU is, like, really, really good? Or is Clemson just, like, not that great? Because Clemson was down 16-0 to Troy on Saturday. LSU is struggling against Louisiana Tech. That was a 10-0 game in the third quarter. I get it was a letdown spot for both teams, and LSU might have been looking ahead to the game this week against Florida. But I don't know. I'll put them at number 5 behind Georgia and Texas. Miami's going to be number 6 for me. They got a fun game this week against South Florida. But again, from a talent standpoint, man, the Canes are loaded both sides of the ball. And Mario Cristobal is your head coach, though. I don't know if I can ever pick you to win a national championship. Notre Dame's got a big one on Saturday against Texas A&M. They'll be my number 7 team. Miami did beat them, and Miami looked like the better team. So I got to put the Canes on top of Notre Dame. But the upside for the Irish, the real only question mark we had about Notre Notre Dame going into the season was who their quarterback would be and would he be good. CJ Carr looks like the real deal. So Notre Dame number 7. Oregon, I'll put them at number 8. The Ducks really haven't played anybody up to this point. They get Oregon State next week, and then they have Penn State after that. So we'll see what the Ducks look like in those two games. They do have a road trip to Chicago to take on Northwestern this week, but that shouldn't be an issue. I think Oregon's got a ton of talent. Still not sold on them being a national title team, though. Tennessee, I'll put them at number 9. I think the gap between the top 8 teams and number 9 and 10 is a big line in the sand. I think Tennessee's very talented, but again, I do like Georgia quite a bit this week. And then Oklahoma will put them at number 10. Sooners defense, very, very good. John Mateer, really like him at quarterback. Nice win on Saturday against Michigan, so Tennessee and Oklahoma round out my top 10. So there we go. Ohio State, Penn State, Texas, Georgia, LSU, Miami, Notre Dame, Oregon, Tennessee, and Oklahoma. All right, you guys, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. It's an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and same-game parlays. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, you guys, time to give out our favorite plays of the day. DJ's plays here on Send It In. We will start with going streaking. Corbin Carroll, 7-for-17 in his career against Logan Webb. We're going to take Corbin Carroll to get a base hit today. That's a .412 batting average against one of the best right-handed pitchers in the National League. My prop lock is going to be Rome Odunze, longest reception over 21.5 yards. Talked about it earlier in the show, but I think Odunze is going to fill that Jameson Williams role. I think he goes for a long catch tonight, so I'll take his longest reception over. Reds are going to be my dog of the day today against the San Diego Padres. Our boy Nick Lodolo is on the mound, and we like it when Lodolo's on the road. He normally pitches well. Give me Cincinnati money line, and then give me Dub Bears plus 1.5 tonight against the Vikings to get the dub. Make us 3-2 on the week in the PJ Pick 5. Let me bring on my producer, Shawnee Sharp. He's decked out in his Bears gear tonight, all fired up for the season to start. Shawnee Sharp, we got about 30 seconds left, pal. How are we feeling about tonight? The Bears going to beat the Vikings.
PJ, I'm terrified. But I'll tell you this, though. Bears by a million. So,
yeah.
I don't care. But no, actually, realistically, I'm very optimistic, kind of. So I think they'll win. I think J.J. McCarthy, being a rookie, it's his first game. So who knows? But I wouldn't be shocked if the Bears lost. I think it's an extreme outcomes game. I think if the Vikings are going to win, they're going to win by a lot. I think if the Bears win, I think you just bet them outright.
5 seconds, Sean. Anytime touchdown score tonight for the Bears, who would you take?
Oh, man. I think everyone's going to love Colson Loveland. I think Cole Kmet.
Cole Kmet. Okay. Like that. There you go. Our boy Shawnee Sharp wishing him good luck. Bears plus 1.5. Let's hope we get it to the window. Thanks again to David Hall for joining us. Tomorrow, Preston Guy joins us to preview LSU and Florida. Nick Kenyon also joins us as well. We'll see you guys then. Have a great rest of your day. Go Bears.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.